Okay, I've been looking forward to these 4 weeks of just walk across the room. Stephen, if you can bring my writing board. I'm going to be teaching a bit more than preaching. And the content comes from the book called Just Walk Across the Room. And we're encouraging you guys to get the book and to work through it. I am primarily speaking to Christ followers this morning, but I believe even if you're not necessarily walking with the Lord at this time in your life, I believe will still bless you. I really believe you're going to trust, you'll receive a revelation of the goodness of God, a revelation of the love of God. So I believe these 4 weeks will radically change the way you and I view that great category of Christianity called evangelism. Now, if you hear the word evangelism, some of us, we become uneasy, our mouths go dry, we have a tremor up our spine, you know, is he going to call me forward and ask me to show how to testify or witness to somebody? Relax. Okay, I'm not going to do that. I believe that this will be unlike anything you've ever read or seen or heard about evangelism, as pertaining to the topic of evangelism. And the reason I'm saying that is it involves no formulas, no scripts, no tests, no on-the-spot demand for huge amounts of information. Are you intrigued yet? It really is out of the box, and it's beautifully out of the box. I'm just so excited about this. But I believe the paradigm we'll discover together is this, that evangelism can be as simple as taking a walk across the room. And that's what we're going to be talking about. That's the metaphor we'll be focusing on. So let me ask you a question. Can you take a walk across the room? Yes, you can. So you can do this. You can take a walk across the room, so you can do this. So I want to show us a short video clip. Just to introduce, we already saw a video clip now about Bill Hybels. He's the pastor of Willow Creek Community Church in America, and he's a man of integrity, and I'm just so inspired by reading his book and reading his heart for people. He really has a passion for people. So just a short excerpt of what we're going to be talking about. Are we ready? Let's go. Just a minute.
A lot of people I talk to get all freaked out when they hear the word evangelism. They think they have to master this massive amount of apologetic information. They think they have to have a different personality than God gave them. They think that it's just some formidable challenge that they could never rise to. And so often I find that it's the short, rather accessible little steps or walks or deeds that you do. It's not giving long speeches. It's mostly about friendship. It's not backing someone into a corner. It's just kind of pointing to Christ in ways that are natural for you. And I think if more people would do just the small thing that they can do, take a walk here, stretch out an arm here, say a word here, live your faith every day in a humble and kind of genuine way, I think a lot of people would find that they would be touching a lot more lives than they think.
So just want to highlight the last bit he said there. Essentially, if we would all do just the small things that we can do, we would touch a lot more lives. There are so many small things that we can do that can touch so many lives. So if you're a Christ follower, isn't that your passion? Isn't that your heart? Isn't that something that's stirring in your heart that you would like to touch somebody's life, somebody that you love, a family member, a friend, somebody that's far from God? Wouldn't that be isn't that your heart? I'm sure it is. It is for all of us. We have that desire, but often we don't know how. So the just walk across the room metaphor that serves as the key concept for this book has its roots in a story that is about the same thing, about somebody that walked across the room and they transformed somebody's life. Somebody that was far from God, and then somebody walked across the room and their life, that person's life was radically transformed. And so we want to use that sort of as that metaphor as an outline of what we're going to be talking about. So Bill Hybels tells a story that he was invited to a luncheon in a hotel ballroom. He arrived at the luncheon, and everybody was seated at the different tables, and he met the people at his table. And they were a diverse group of people in terms of ethnicity, in terms of age. They were like from all walks of life. And so they were introducing themselves, and he noticed the one guy sitting opposite him was an African-American guy, big guy, like big rugby player, and he had a Muslim name. So he noticed this is a Muslim man sitting across the table from him. And so they went on, they had their lunch, and then at some stage he caught the eye of the eyes met of him and the African-American man. And the African-American guy turned to him and said, "I love your books." And he was shocked. I'll read this, what he wrote. He said, "I looked over my shoulder to see if there was some famous author standing behind me. There wasn't, so I said, 'Me.' He said, 'Yeah, you. We'll talk later.' He had this huge grin on his face, but I still thought that he had me confused with someone else. So after lunch, he pulls me off to the side and says, 'I understand this is probably a little confusing because you assume I'm a Muslim. Let me tell you a quick story. I've been a Muslim my whole adult life. Being an African-American Muslim in a southern city, southern parts of America, and being in the profession that I'm in, it's not always been easy. As you might imagine, I have some struggles in social settings." And so he said, "In the profession I'm in, we have a lot of cocktail parties and a lot of evening events. And the natural course for me at these parties is that I'm served a drink. I get some hors d'oeuvres. I try to make business contacts in the room. Inevitably, I wind up standing alone at most parties until enough time has elapsed. And I feel like I can gracefully make an exit. And then I subtly leave. This whole dynamic is just something I've learned to live with." And so this African-American guy goes on to tell Bill that at another one of these social settings, another of these cocktail parties, he was standing as usual in the corner alone with his drink in the one hand, his food in the other hand, and not knowing what to do with himself. All across the room, there were people in small little groups, in conversation, in laughter, having fun, connecting, and having a good time. And he was all alone in the corner. Nobody was paying attention to him. And then this guy says, then suddenly he saw in one of the groups, there was a man that looked up and noticed him. And it made him sort of uncomfortable because this guy was like noticing him. And he says, and then suddenly he was shocked. This guy in the other group excused himself from the group, walked across the room to him, stuck out his hand and said, "Hi, I'm this," introduced himself and said, "What's your name?" And so they started to speak, and the conversation was just very natural. They spoke about business, spoke about sports, spoke about family, and at some stage it turned into a conversation about faith. And so the African-American guy, he was sort of afraid in the sense of telling this man he's a Muslim, because he thought, yeah, if he tells him he's a Muslim, this guy can maybe be upset, or it can break down the relationship or the discussion. And he actually then shared with him he's a Muslim, and then this guy who walked across the room to him responded and said, "Oh, that's awesome. I'm a Christ follower, and this really shocked him. The guy basically just said to him, "I don't know much about Islam, but I would love to have a coffee date with you sometime. I'd love to have breakfast with you sometime, and we can, I'd love to ask you some questions about your faith and why you came to the faith. I just really like to learn and to grow. I want to find out your story." And this absolutely shocked this man, because he is a Christ follower, responding with grace to him and acceptance to him. And so they went for a breakfast, went for a cup of coffee, and the Christ follower asked him just questions about his faith. "Just tell me why, what, share with me." And so they had a date and another date a week later, and another one. For weeks on end, they would get together, and they had these awesome discussions, and the African-American guy was loving it, and it was just great for him to share. And then at some stage, he realized, you know, this guy's been such a good listener. Maybe I should, you know, ask him about his faith. And so he asked him, well, you know, I was a Christian as a young man, you know, but I can't remember much. Tell me a bit more about your faith. And so just very naturally, he started to share. He didn't, you know, he wasn't judgmental, no agenda, just sharing about the Christian faith. And he had a genuine interest in this Muslim man's life. And this impacted this African-American guy. And so then he responds. Just want to read this as he tells the rest of the story. He says, I really didn't remember that much about the Christian faith. I'd been a Christian at some point in my childhood, but the racism in our community had infiltrated my family's church. Eventually, we just left the faith altogether. Doesn't take a genius to know when you're not wanted. But for some reason, I was prompted during one of our breakfast meetings to say, you've been such a good listener all this time. Would you be willing to refresh my memory on the Christian faith? And from there, it all happened so easily and respectfully and sensitively. And to make a long story short, many months later, after determining that Christianity was the superior faith system, I committed myself to Jesus Christ. It has made an unbelievable change in my life, Bill. I am part of a local church now. That's why I came across some of the books that you've written. I can't tell you the difference this whole thing has made in my life and in the lives of all my family members. Isn't that beautiful? Because one man took a walk across the room, stuck out his hand, and said, let's talk. I think that's so powerful. The single greatest gift Christ followers can give to the people around them is an introduction to the God who created them, who loves them, and who has a purpose for their life. Nothing beats it. Nothing beats it. Not monetary gains, not job opportunities, not recognition, not accolades. Nothing can compare to the single greatest gift, the gift of knowing Christ, the gift of eternal life. And this is what evangelism amounts to, constantly watching for ways to give the single greatest gift to someone living far from God. You see, we are like gift bearers. If you're a Christ follower, you have received the gift of eternal life. And now we can walk around, we can give that same gift to someone else. There's no greater privilege. Okay, so we want to speak about this process of how to get usable to God. How can God work through each and every one of us? How can we become a gift bearer? And it starts with stepping out of our comfort zones, walking across the room, and stretching out our hand to somebody. So the first one, I want to, three steps. You should have notes. We should have received notes with the little sweetie on, so those who are not allowed to eat until a little bit later can really get value for money over this weekend. So you'll see in your notes there's 3 points that you can write upon your notes. You can write in there. The first point is be willing to enter the zone of the unknown. Be willing to enter. If you did not receive notes, then ushers could please get us some more. Notes are no more. But it's not hard. Okay, it's just 3 points. First one, be willing to enter the zone of the unknown. And so I want to sort of draw this for you. There we have, just to sort of highlight what happened in the previous example of what happened to the African-American guy. We had a situation where there was a conversational comfort zone. And so the man that was over here, he was speaking to people that he probably knew. He was comfortable with them. It was easy. There was no threat. There was no challenge. He could have stayed there for the rest of the evening. There was no reason for him to leave this comfort zone, conversational comfort zone. Ever been in a conversational comfort zone? Do you know this at a social setting? Ever been there? I think we're quite familiar with that one. Okay, and so now we have this man. He was standing there, and he looked across the room, and he saw somebody standing in the corner on his own, probably unsure, sort of didn't know what to do with himself. And so the man standing over here, he saw that, but he really saw him. He didn't just see him, he really saw him. And more than seeing him, he probably felt something in his heart. He felt a drawing to this person. And more than feeling something, he probably heard something, like a prompting of the Holy Spirit, like a whisper in the heart. Why don't you go over there? Shake the man's hand. Reach out to him. Why don't you go over there and give somebody a bit of hope that might be lacking hope? And so he saw, he felt, but he also heard the voice of the Spirit saying, just walk. And so then he would step out of his comfort zone and he would step into this area, which is known as the zone of the unknown. The zone of the unknown. Now God does his best work in this zone. This is where God operates. He normally doesn't operate very well over here. He operates in here because it takes a little bit of faith. So just imagine for this guy, he heard, he had this impression in his heart. He decided he's going to walk over there. He's left his comfort zone, but he's unsure how this guy will respond. He's unsure how the conversation will go. He's not sure how this is going to pan out. He's probably, as he's walking, he's like praying, say, Lord Jesus, help me out here. And so he steps out of his comfort zone on his way to the zone of the unknown, and he approaches this man. And now just imagine the impact of this one walk across the room. This Muslim man comes to faith, and his family's lives are impacted. His children's lives are impacted. It's like a multitude, like a generational impact, a destiny, a family history that's being impacted, or destiny that was impacted because he took this walk across the room and connected with somebody. Just imagine that. I mean, you can imagine that if he walks, the moment he stepped out of that comfort zone, it's like the gates of hell shuddered. Oh, no. No, don't leave the comfort zone. So the gates of hell were probably shuddering. But at the same time, the angels of heaven were like unfurling banners with the names of this businessman and the family on it, just ready for when they cross that line of faith. They were, yeah, come on. And that's what the Bible says. The scriptures speak of the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that comes to faith. So there's some significant dynamics, spiritual dynamics happening as one steps out of that comfort zone, walks into the zone of the unknown. Just by that, being drawn by that voice, walking across, sticking out your hand of friendship to somebody. You know, he probably just said to the people there, excuse me for a minute, let me, and then he's on his way. Do you do that? Would you like to do that? And I don't know, the last few weeks I've been reading and praying, and it's like everywhere I go, I'm just suddenly aware of people more than ever before. I'm just aware of people. And so have you ever been there in the zone of the unknown? Can get interesting. Can really get interesting. But it changed the eternal destiny of a family. It has a staggering impact. So I want to ask this question. I want us all to ponder. What would happen if we were to take a few steps across a room? What if each of us would begin to take simple steps across a room? Could we change the course of an entire family history? Do you think it would be worth the risk to walk across that room? Is it worth the risk? If you're a Christ follower, I'd say absolutely, it's worth the risk. It is worth the risk. I'm going to read this quote from the book. It says, "The day Christ followers like you and me stop taking walks across rooms in this manner, the day we stay glued to our circles of comfort, refuse to make the walk, refuse to enter the zone of the unknown, the day Christ followers like you and me stop doing that sort of stuff, it is lights out for the kingdom of God here on earth. It is the beginning of the end of redemptive history. It's the slow defeat of the church, the bride of Christ. It's the end of the dream of Christ that people on earth would come to know him. It's the end of his dream when you and I stop walking across that room." We all can do this. We all can do this. The top priority of the Holy Spirit for every Christ follower, one of the top priorities of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives, is to turn you and me into a walk across the room person. To walk across the room person. That's what God wants to do. He wants us to become a walk across the room kind of person. Everyone, each and every one of us, regardless of our age, regardless of our gender, regardless of our experience in the kingdom, this is God's priority. If you are a living, breathing Christ follower, then the Spirit is asking you to walk. The Spirit is asking you to walk. The Spirit is asking me to walk. Asking us to make a difference in somebody's life. And we can all do this. Each and every day. Wherever, whenever, make that walk. At work, walk across the room. At school, walk across the room. Social settings, at the gym. I'm so aware of it when I go to the gym. It's always wanting to be aware, God, can I connect with somebody? Can I connect with somebody? Or at your kid's sports game, wherever. It's just so beautiful. There was a sports thing on at our boys' school. And Sonica just felt that she, my wife, just felt that she needed to go and serve there at the table with that sports event. Because she felt that she might connect with somebody who was on God's heart. She didn't have the time. She was busy. It was hectic. But she just really felt in her heart, God wants her to go. And she did connect with at least one person. So maybe you're asking yourself, why aren't you in your spiritual growth, why aren't you rocketing ahead in your spiritual maturity? Why aren't you growing maybe as you feel that you should or could? Could it be that you find yourself in circles of comfort continuously? So inwardly focused, so enjoying the community, glorious community of believers and fellowship and having a good time where it's easy, it's safe, it's comfortable. Could it be that we find ourselves over there and not over there in the zone of the unknown? Because if you step into the zone of the unknown, you step into adventure. You step out. It's like step walking by faith. Okay, God, it's you and me. I really need you to help. I really need you to touch somebody. You will grow in that zone. But many find themselves over there. I think one of the saddest things of Christianity is that many of us suffer from spiritual amnesia. Spiritual amnesia. We forgot what Christ has done for us. We forgot how. Think back of that day, that moment you turned to the Lord. I remember. I wanted to preach to every tree. I tell you, haven't you heard? Went to church since I was small till about the age of 18. I've never heard this. Now I see and I want to tell everybody. But then over time you sort of make friends in your circle of comfort and then you sort of forget about the people out there. Many of us are so inside here, focusing inwardly. We're not even seeing the person out there. We're not even seeing them. I'm not even talking about being open, saying, okay, God, I hear you, and walking. So we need to become aware. We get wrapped up in our circles of comfort, and then we miss out on giving the greatest gift. So have you come to know that Jesus truly is the risen Lord? Have you come to know that the Bible is truth? It's the Word of God. It's alive. It's powerful. Have you come to know this God in a way that it's the most life-changing, energizing, fulfilling, loving relationship that you've ever experienced? Have you experienced that with God? Why would anyone not want that? Why would do we think that somebody wouldn't want to hear this amazing message and have this amazing gift? If you've been bowled over by the love of God, by the grace of God, as I have, let's trust God for a little bit of boldness to step up and to walk across the room, to become aware of somebody, to walk across the room, stick out a hand and say, "Hi, I'm Andre. What's your name?" Just get to know somebody. Just get to know somebody. That's the starting point. And we can give the greatest, single greatest gift ever to someone. Okay, so that's the first point. Be willing to step out of your comfort zone and step into the zone of the unknown. Now, if you've ever done this, you know that you need some help when you hit that mark. You need some help from above. We need some help from God above to enable us to be as effective as possible. Or you might mess it up. Ever messed it up? Whoa, man, I've messed this up. Quite a few times. So the second point and key is listen for the Spirit's promptings. Listen for the Spirit's promptings. We need help from the Spirit. In order for us to be effective in the zone of the unknown, we must be led by the Spirit. We must listen to the Spirit's promptings every step of the way. Every step of the way. We must be in tune to know when to walk, when not to walk, when to speak, when not to speak. I'm sure some of us have heard of the super evangelists. You know, the stories of the guy, I went on a plane trip from the one place to another place. As I got into the cab, the cab driver came to Christ. And then as I went to the hotel attendant came to the Lord. And then the cab driver came to the Lord. And then the flight attendant came to the Lord. And the poor soul next to me on the airplane, you know, I cornered them and they came to the Lord. A family across the aisle came to the Lord. Man, the whole church was like the whole airplane was like a church. That normally doesn't encourage anyone. That just intimidates the life out of us. And we feel we're not good enough. We're not able. I can't do that. You know, so any one of us can listen to a prompting of the Spirit and to step out and to reach out to someone. I've seen this about 7-8 years ago. I was in Cape Town. And I found this wonderful evangelism course or method in a sense, which is biblical, called the Way of the Master. And it's a great way to start a conversation with anybody at any time. So we went to the malls. Now, I've never done this. I've been a believer for quite some time. It's the first time ever I did it. But it was so liberating. So we went to the malls and we'd randomly go up to people and just start speaking to them. Now that freaks out most people. But the amazing thing is, this was so easy. It's just a few questions you ask. Well, are you a good person? And we take them through the law and we have some fun. Most people didn't really get offended. It was actually great. But I spoke to about 100 people over a period of 6 months or a year as going to these malls. And then after a while, I was thinking, but there are so few of them that on the spot actually turned to the Lord. I mean, it was good sowing. I mean, we were speaking to their lives. It was great. And so the one time I decided, no, I'm going to do this by the Spirit. I'm not just going to randomly go at somebody. I'm going to go by the Spirit. So we walked same place, same mall, walked through the mall for about 30 minutes. I'm just praying. I said, God, Holy Spirit, show me. Who's available? Who's ready? Who do you want to speak to? And so we're walking, and at some stage, Holy Spirit just highlighted, just two people just sort of jumped out in the sense in my mind's eye. I felt God highlighting them. So I went to them. I did exactly the same thing as all the other 99 people. This time, they broke down in tears. We went outside. They prayed a prayer of faith to Christ, and I led them to the Lord. because they were ready. They were ready. And that's the power of being led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, God will point out to you that person's ready. The Holy Spirit is always working somewhere. There's always somebody that is ready, that is open to come to faith in Christ. And we must just listen, see who's being highlighted, and then we walk across the room. What if you and I, when we go to the mall, or if you go to Pick and Pay, get out of your car on your way to Pick and Pay, say, God, I'm available. Get your shopping trolley, you're walking through the aisles. God, I'm available. Speak to me. Show somebody that's on your heart. You might transform somebody's life. I heard a story of a lady. She often would ask the Lord and say, Lord, I'm open. So the morning she was praying, and then God just gave her two words. She just have an impression in her heart. He just said the produce and depressed. Two words. And so she felt God is saying, go to the shop, go to the produce section and look for somebody that's depressed. So she just went. Now she's there, now she's standing. Okay. Lord, who's depressed? And so she's looking at the people, and suddenly she sees a lady standing there, and she's standing with a trolley, and she's just like standing. Not doing, she's just standing. And she's like, okay, let's go over there. So she goes to the lady, and she starts to speak to her, and the lady says, I don't know why I'm here, but my husband passed away 3 months ago. My dog just died as well. I'm depressed. And so she spoke into her life. She gave her some very powerful words as God gave her, encouraged her. And then as they were ending off, this lady turned to her and asked her, are you an angel? You and I can be an angel in somebody's life, in their darkness, in their depression, in their crisis. There is somebody in a crisis somewhere. How many of us walk into shopping centers, into the shop, and we just gun for our, especially the men, I'm sure, we have our list, and we gun for our list. In, out, quick. How about just being open to somebody in need, just to listen to the Holy Spirit? The key is this. Fundamentally, being walk across the room people means that we walk when the Spirit tells us to walk, when we don't walk when the Spirit says not to walk. That's what makes this thing dynamic and mystical and out of control. It's an adventure. It is so exciting. This is where Christianity, following Christ, becomes truly an adventure. But so many of us are living over here. Comfort zone. No, let's get out of into the zone of the unknown. Matthew 5, verse 13. Speaking of salt, Jesus said this about his followers. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. We need to be salty. What does it mean? You need to have spiritual potency. You need to have spiritual potency. If we lose that, what are we worth as a believer? But also more than that, we need proximity. You can be the most powerful, strongest salt in the whole world. If you don't get it onto your meat, as I will in a few minutes, get it onto my meat. It is powerless. It is worthless. It's not exciting in the bottle. It's exciting on my steak that I'm going to have in a short while. So are you like a Christian, salt in the bottle, or are you getting proximity close? You need to get close. We need to get close to people. Otherwise, we can't make an impact. And so some of us might say, this is just for spiritual superstars. You know, they do this with one hand tied behind their backs. You might say, no, I'm not smart enough. I don't have the personality. I'm not outgoing enough. I don't have the education. I don't have enough knowledge. It really isn't about that. This is the key. If you are in a right relationship with Jesus and your spirit is sensitive, and you're in a good place with God, and you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, then you can listen to the prompting of the Spirit and you can walk. It feels tough, but I tell you, when the Spirit leads you, it becomes easy because you walk into an open door, a wide open door. And so the key is this, part of that, connecting with that. You could still be in your circle of comfort. You're in the conversation with your friends and it's great, colleagues. But as you hear, your heart is aware. You are available. You are open. So you're listening. So you have like one eye on the room or Pick and Pay or wherever. You have one eye open. Just sense that. Say, God, if you want me to, is there somebody in your heart? I'll walk. I'll walk. Just speak to me. And so if by God's grace, if you commit yourself to being salty, if you get some proximity to people who need grace, and if you listen for the Spirit's promptings, you can make this work every time. You can make this work every time. Commit to being salty, get some proximity, get close to someone that needs grace, and then just listen. Listen, this is real living. This is real living, where you start walking across rooms, at the gym, at school, at work, in the mall, in the shop. Just be aware, and then you take that walk. That is living. I believe that's spiritual living at its highest. As there's a verse that speaks about the 99 sheep. Jesus speaks about the 99 sheep, and he says about the one that goes astray. And then he says, but when he finds the one, he rejoices. There are few things as high a high as giving this great gift to someone who doesn't have it. It is my, if I look over my year, those are my highlights. Those are my years. God, I shared what you've given to me with someone else. It is the highest high. So few of us know that. So few of us experience it. Some of us may say, man, that's my thing. I love this. I do this daily. Some of us are thinking, I sort of know it once or twice in my life. And some of us are saying, yo, never thought about that. Not really open to it. It's worth it. This is something everyone can do. Reach out to someone in need and make a difference. We can all do this. Okay. So the third point that I want to get to. The first one is be willing to step into the zone of the unknown. Second point, listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Just be, tune your heart in. Be available and listen. And then the third one, and it answers the why. I'm going to give you in a moment that. First read Romans 5 verse 8. Okay, please read this with me. Is this on screen? Romans 5 verse 8, it's a bit hard to read. But if you can read it, please read it with me. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. He demonstrates his own love for us. I was thinking this week, how did my life change? Do you know that my life changed because of a person that walked across the room? Actually walked across the quad at hostel in my first year, place where guys would play cricket. I was standing on the one side of the quad. Another guy walked across the quad, came to me and spoke to me. His name is Etienne Beau. He came to me and he had a dream the previous night. In the dream, he felt God highlighting me and saying, you should invite me to church. And I was ready. That was the one moment in my life where I was ready. I mean, I had destructive few months before that. I was down and out. I was ready. You see, it's hard to come to Christ when you're proud and arrogant. You actually need to realize how small you are and humble yourself. You need to be in that space. And so he came to me. He invited me to church. He walked across that room. And he had to do it again later the week to try and get me to church. But he was persistent. And I went and it absolutely transformed my life. Everything I have today, everything I am today is because of that one man walking across the room in obedience to the Holy Spirit. I am eternally grateful to Etienne for being obedient to the Spirit's promptings. Eternally. eternally. And I'm eternally grateful for what God has done for me. Who walked across the room for you? Who stepped out? Who demonstrated the love of God for you? Most of us would have a name. This normally doesn't happen just falling out of the sky. Normally there's a person that had a role that played in our lives. Normally there is a person that walked across the room. And so how did Jesus demonstrate the love of the Father to us? He walked across the room. Philippians 2 verse 5. I'll read this for you. Have the same attitude of mind as Christ Jesus had, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human being. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus, and what this speaks of is that at a specific point in history, in actual time and space, Jesus walked across the universe and reached out his redemptive hand, or his redemptive hand for us. That's how Jesus demonstrated his love. Because of that one walk, humankind was able to be saved and secured in the family of God forever. Think for a moment about the implications of that walk. That passage tells us that Jesus was in the ultimate circle of comfort, heaven, with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. There was safety, there was comfort. The angels were worshiping Jesus. It was a good space to be. But he saw us. And so he decided to step out of his comfort zone and walk across the universe to come and stretch out a hand for humankind, for each and every one of us. That is the very purpose Jesus came. God became a man, he became flesh, and he suffered with us, and he died on a cross in our place to open the door for us. He left the supreme circle of comfort, and he took the longest walk that anybody's ever walked across the universe. For you and me. So that he can stretch out his hand, so he can get proximity, so he can stretch out his hand to the likes of you and me, and to people on the verge of wrecking their lives. So many people on the verge of wrecking their lives. Every person, if they breathe, if you are a breathing human being, we need Christ. We need to be saved. We need to respond to that. So why did Jesus walk across the room? He walked across the universe to redeem us. But more than that, he walked across the universe to give us an example of what he wants us to do as well, to become Christ-like, to also walk across the room. I think that's so beautiful. And so he speaks to us and he says, what I did, leaving that circle, making that trip, and reaching out to you, what I did is precisely what I want you to do. I want my followers to be walk across the room people. That's what Jesus desires of us. And so don't try and figure these things out. Don't allow guilt. Don't allow obligation to come upon us. Instead, just take the hand of the Holy Spirit and say, God, as I'm going to shop today, as I'm going to work today, as I'm going wherever today, I'm available. Going to the hospital today, I'm available. Lord, lay someone on my heart. And by your grace, I'll walk. I'll stretch out a hand of friendship. Stretch out a hand of friendship. You don't have to preach necessarily. But you can do it. Each of us can do it. God is saying to each of us, walk across the street, walk across the gym, walk across the cafeteria, leave your circle of comfort and enter that zone. Amen. Amen. And so Jesus gives us a beautiful example. I'm almost finished. Jesus gives us a beautiful example of this. In John chapter 4, there's an example of where Jesus did this. He and his 12 disciples were hot, hungry, unbelievably thirsty. They came to a well, and there was a woman on the other side of the well, And the guys were hot and hungry. And so they said, Jesus, let's go to the town. We're going to get some food. Do you want something coming along? And then Jesus gets this prompting in his spirit. He becomes aware of the woman on the other side of the well. And he tells the guys, you guys stay in your circle of comfort. You go to town. I feel the Spirit is laying someone on my heart. And so Jesus walks across the dusty well area. And he comes to a lady who has five marriages, five divorces. And then he speaks to her in everyday language. He speaks to them about a cup of water. And then he turns into spiritual concept of living waters. And the end half of the town comes to Christ because he walked across. And Jesus walked across. He broke through so many barriers. He was walking across gender, racial, cultural, and every even man-made religious restrictions. This was an unclean woman, but Jesus decided he wasn't allowed to speak to a woman. He did. He wasn't allowed to speak to a Samaritan, but he did. He stepped out. And it was a great impact that made. Let me just read that verse, John 4:13. Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within gushing fountains of endless life. That's the offer of Christ. If you drink of me, you have true life. The woman said, sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty, won't ever have to come back to this well again. And so there's this invitation for each and every one of us. But point number three is just walk. Just walk. So be willing to step out of your comfort zone. Be willing to step into the zone of the unknown. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Just make yourself available. Say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Speak to me. And then just walk. We can all do this. Just walk. So now I have a bit of homework in closing. On the next slide. Just this one. Who played a key role in your life to bring you to Christ, to point you to faith? Who was that key person? Homework is this. Contact them. Send them a postcard. Find them on Facebook. Send them a message this week and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to contact Etienne. We are Facebook friends, praise God. And I'm going to say to him, thank you. Thank you for stepping out. Thank you for the life change in my life, my family's life, so many other people's lives because you took that step across the room. And I want to encourage you, Etienne, do it again. It's worth it. So encourage them to say it was worth it. What you did, it was worth it. Encourage them and say, do it again. How do you feel towards that person? As I said, I'm eternally grateful. I have such respect for this guy for taking that step. Okay, so are you going to do that? If you're going to do that, raise your hand. Good. Peer pressure. Wonderful. So over these 4 weeks, okay, I want to end off with this. I want to encourage you, I'm going to read a quote from this, from the book, but I want to encourage you to get the book, order the book. There's about 14, 15 people that already ordered it. Please order the book. It's a great read. He quotes, I'm going to read this quote. He says, Jesus Christ knew that fulfilling his redemptive mission would be excruciatingly difficult, risky, downright defeating, and seemingly fruitless for us at times. But if you will just persevere, he might say, the potential is colossal. Think of it. One more treasure. A priceless human being might be snatched from the clutches of a horrendous, lifeless eternity because of your work. So go. Go right now, bear witness. Sow the seed. Take the walk across the room. Leave what's comfortable for what it, for that which is eternally significant. Risk your life for this and know that you will never regret your decision. Know that you will never regret the decision. The single greatest gift you and I can give to another human being is an introduction to the God who declared that his mission was to find every person who was lost and to bring them home. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be very practical in the small groups, very practical. You're going to learn things like how to excuse ourselves from a circle of comfort. We're going to learn to look across the room to discern. We're going to learn how to take that first step. We're going to learn how to pray. We're going to learn how to talk normally with people who need normal Christian to talk in a normal way, not a weirdo. So we're going to learn how to talk normally. And so I want to give you three guarantees. First, if you join us for this, for the next 3 weeks on Sundays, next 4 weeks in small groups, we will all grow in our relationships with Christ, because you're going to step out of your comfort zone. We're going to grow in our relationships with one another in our small groups, and we will get better at pointing people to faith. And we're going to have a great time as we do it. Amen.
Morning, everyone. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone this morning. While we were preparing during the fast, and I was really just asking God, what is it you'd like me to share? And God specifically said, which was confirmed by the worship this morning, tell my people how much I love them. But he also said this, I want you to mention specific groups this morning. And some of us here perhaps don't know him yet as your personal Lord and Savior. Some of us has perhaps come here almost in a way to please someone else. Been sitting here and saying, you know, I wish that it's over. And God say, you know, I still love you. If you walk out of here without making a decision for me, I will still love you. Then there's others who have known God for a while, but we've serving him on the fringes, just doing the necessary. God says, I still love you. And there's the others that has everything comfortable, not too many issues in your life, family is good, and God's saying, I love you, but there's so much more. And this morning, God's actually calling us like Joshua did. He said, today I'm drawing a line in the sand, and I'm saying, as for me and my family, we will serve God. And we will serve him in holiness. We will serve him in commitment. We will serve him with everything in our heart. And I just sense this morning that there's people here this morning that God's really dealing with and saying, it's time to step into the family where you belong. It's time to allow me to pour my love into your heart and into your life. You have not yet seen what I can do for you if you're willing to take that step and say, I will receive what Christ did on the cross.
Amen. Thanks, Reverend. So, just want to encourage, if you are in a small group, please commit for the next 4 weeks to go every week so we can really work through this. It's the last of the normal small groups. We are rebooting the small groups after that. It's going to be fresh and exciting. And if you're not in a small group, we really want to encourage, just for 4 weeks, just join a group for 4 weeks, no extra commitment, just for 4 weeks so you can grow. We're going to watch some of the videos of Bill Hybels sharing around this topic. We're going to see some testimonies of some of his friends that came to the Lord. And I'm sure you're going to find this particular curriculum approachable, insightful, and extremely encouraging. Extremely, really, you will be encouraged. Hallelujah.